Gospel of John, chapter 1. The text for this evening is verses 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Last week, in our study of this man who was sent from God, we considered John's likeness to Christ. We considered that testimony that John had, that he was so like Christ that indeed those who looked upon him thought he was Christ, thought he was the promised Messiah, Luke 3 and verse 15. Tonight we will move from John's likeness to Christ and consider something of John's labors for Christ. And in particular, what John had to say about the Lord. He was the Lord's witness. He witnessed for the Lord. We've just read that. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Look at verse 8. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness. So, it's emphasized. Even in those two verses and elsewhere, as we'll see tonight, John was a witness for the Lord Jesus. And when we examine his labors, we will see that John was always lifting him up, always speaking about the Lord Jesus. This, of course, is in keeping with the Lord's own words that the Lord spoke later on in his own public ministry. When I'm asked from time to time to sign somebody's Bible, I always sign the Bible and include this verse of Scripture. John 12, verse 32. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That is something which we will see that John always sought to do. Indeed, what a person says about the Lord Jesus will reveal the character of that person, the character of that person's ministry. The key to discerning the caliber of a man's ministry is found in what he has to say about the Lord Jesus. How he answers the question, what think ye of Christ, will certainly determine what kind of a minister that individual may be. There is certainly no doubt about the character of John. John the Baptist, or his ministry, when we look at these verses before us tonight. Want us to look at John's mission for his master. Our text states, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That's why John came. And so there we see that he was a witness for the Lord, and he was the worker who was sent. He was sent from God. I cannot help but notice the words of verse 6. Look carefully. It's amazing how we come to a familiar verse of Scripture and we can read through it and maybe miss some very precious thought or some jewel of truth. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. That word from highlights for us that John came from, as it were, the very presence of God. Now you would expect that verse 6 to say there was a man sent by God. He certainly was sent. But here we read he was sent from God. And that is very significant. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, and there in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So here we have an angel. The angel Gabriel sent from God. Gabriel stood in the very presence of God, awaiting the orders and the commands of God. And there he was. He was sent from God. John the Baptist was sent from God. You go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And what did Nicodemus say of the Lord? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. From God. There you have that phrase again. Come from God. The Lord Jesus, of course, came from God the Father. He was in the very presence of the Father. And he came from God. Gabriel was sent from God. John chapter 8 and verse 42. John 8 and verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. The Lord Jesus was sent from God. And again, if we go back to what we said last week about John's likeness to Christ, and here you have the Lord Jesus sent from God, and the same language is used to describe John. John was sent from God. Again, emphasizing John's likeness to the Lord. The similarities. So John's abode may not have been in heaven, like the angel, or like Christ. But surely, it emphasizes the fact that John had that close, intimate relationship with God. That's where John abode, in the very presence of Jehovah. He was sent from God. I love reading the writings of Dr. Andrew Bonner. He was a good friend, close friend of Robert Murray McShane. If you ever get a chance to buy Bonner's Dairy, I tell you, it's worth reading. But it was said of Dr. Andrew Bonner that when he left the minister's room on a Sabbath day and climbed his pulpit steps, it was as if he had come from the very presence of God. He had been in God's presence, praying and seeking God's face intimately. And no wonder that Dr. Bonner was mightily used of God. When he preached in his pulpit, it was as if he had come from God. And so we find that John, sent from God to bear witness of the light, So he is the worker who was sent. We notice also he was the witness for the Savior. So here we see that John's sole purpose in life was to be a witness for the Lord. We have it there again in verses 7 and 8. We read the words again. The same came for a witness, to bear witness. He came for a witness. That's why he was sent. And did he fulfill his duty? Of course he did. For it says, he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And so John was a witness for the Savior. Think of it again. We've already pointed out in this study that John's public ministry didn't last much more than 6 months. 6 months, public ministry. He lived a short life. And yet, those 6 months or so were filled with John witnessing for the Lord. John simply lived for Christ. John labored for Christ. John ever looked to Christ. As I've said before, John's life cannot be understood apart from the Lord Jesus. Cannot be understood apart from Christ. As Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Think of those words. For to me to live is Christ. That was Paul's life, just to live for Christ. That was John's life, to live for Christ. And when anyone lives for Christ and lives unto him, then he or she will be a good witness for the Lord Jesus. The one who lives for the world, who loves the world, well, he cannot expect to be a good witness for the Lord. Never mind a good witness, he can't expect even to be a witness for Christ. No matter what he professes to be. Go over to chapter 5 of John. There we read that John was indeed a witness for the light. Once more, here we see John's likeness to Christ. Look at John 5, verse 31. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. The Lord says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So there's the Lord Jesus speaking about himself as being a witness. Now look at the next verse. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. And the Lord goes on again, and three more times he speaks about the Lord himself being a witness. So there you have a likeness, John's likeness to the Lord. And there again you have four times. I don't think there can be any doubt that John came into the world to be a witness for the Lord. Four times. There, verse 32 and 33, you have the word witness with reference to John. Christ, of course, is the light of the world. And we read then in John 8 and in verse 12, John 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus said that John was a burning and a shining light. He was like Christ. Christ was the light of the world. Again, another likeness of John to his Savior. The light of the world is Christ. The Savior himself said of us, of his people, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16. We're the light. We're to bear witness of Christ, who's the light of the world. We're his witnesses. We don't put the light under a bushel that it cannot be hid. No. We're to shine brightly for the Lord Jesus. We're his witnesses, like John. You see that he was, regarding his witness for the Savior, you see he was a public witness. As I said, he didn't hide his light under a bushel. Indeed, that's what the word witness means. The word witness means to give testimony. So if we are going to be a witness for our Savior, we must go public. We cannot be silent. We cannot be like Joseph of Arimathea, who for a season was a secret disciple, kept it to himself, didn't tell anybody that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus. That was not John. John spoke of the Savior before multitudes. Before multitudes. As a public witness, we read about his personal witness. The word witness has the meaning to bear witness what has been personally experienced. You want to tell somebody about something, and they say to you, well, how do you know? Well, you can say, I know because I've experienced it. You tell people the Lord is good. Well, how do you know he's good? Because I've experienced it. And John had a personal experience with Christ. Arthur W. Pink. Love reading Pink's writings. Arthur W. Pink said, a witness is one who knows what he says and says what he knows. He deals not with speculation. He speaks not of his own opinions, but he testifies to what he knows to be truth. That's a good way of putting it. No, you don't talk regarding about the Lord, about speculation or about opinions, but testifies to what he knows to be truth. So in being a witness for the Lord, we can give personal testimony. We know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We know he's saved. The little chorus says, I was there when it happened, so I ought to know. And so we can tell about what we know. It's not something we've read in a book. It's not something we've been taught at college or even a Bible college. No, we can say we know. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know. And isn't that the way it is with some ministers? They don't know. Some men occupy pulpits and they don't have a testimony. You might say to them, sir, well, when were you saved? When were you born again? And they can't speak of a time they were born again. They can't really be a witness. They can't say that they know Christ as Lord and Savior. Cannot say, I've experienced God's salvation. So they really can't be true witnesses for the Lord. John was the worker who was sent. He was a witness for the Savior. And he was a winner of souls. We read there again, John 1 and verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All men through him might believe. John was a winner of souls. Now there was no head count as far as John was concerned. With regard to many souls, he led to Christ. Oh, I remember being in a certain church in the States, not one of ours, obviously. There on the table, there were the church magazines. And you look through it, the back page, there was a whole list of the number that professed faith in Christ, and the number had been baptized. And you go to another church, and it's the same thing. And it seemed to be a bit of a competition between particular churches. How many could put down in their magazine X number? Really, the Lord would know what was in the whole thing. Not dealing with numbers here regarding John. John was a witness for Christ that all men through him might believe. John was sent to prepare the way before the Lord, and in so doing, he labored to see men and women brought savingly to the Lord Jesus. That ought to be our desire. Look at Romans. Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then look at the next verse. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That was John. How will they hear without a preacher? We need to be that preacher. We need to be that witness and tell people of their love of Christ, of our love of Christ, and their need for Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the chapter 9, read there, in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, gain souls for Christ. And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. Look at verse 22. To the weak became I also weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He sought to identify with the Jew, and identify with the Greek. And he says, that I might by all means save some. That was Paul's burden, to be a winner of souls. May the Lord give us the same burden. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Praying Hyde of India. He was given that name because he was a great man of prayer. Praying Hyde of India got before God and said, Lord, give me one soul today. And he saw one soul saved. He got before God again and he said, Lord, give me two souls today. And he bore witness of Christ and he saw two souls saved. Next day he said, Lord, give me three souls today. And the Lord blessed him with three souls. He was a true winner of souls. He prayed earnestly to that end. That's what John was. He was a winner of souls. As well as John and his mission for the Master, we see John and his message about the Master. When we examine the preaching of John, we see that he had a wonderful message to preach. In verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. To bear witness of the light. There you have his focus on Christ. Throughout John's preaching ministry, you look, John never really preached on anything else or anyone else. John preached Christ alone. He preached Christ. Matthew tells us, Matthew 3 verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He first preached the need of repentance. We have dealt with that in our study. He preached the need for repentance, but he didn't leave it there. He preached about a Redeemer. He preached repentance, and then he preached Christ. If a man is led to repent of his sin, well, he needs a Savior to deliver him from his sin. So that was John's order. He preached repentance first, and then told them about Christ. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away, or beareth away, the sin of the world. What did Paul say? Paul said, we preach Christ, and him crucified. What was Philip's ministry? Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Acts 8:5. What was Peter's ministry? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. John preached Christ. Paul preached Christ. Philip preached Christ. Peter preached Christ. And that's all we want to do. Let's preach Christ. You see, he preached Christ. We see in John's ministry the preeminence of Christ. You know, it's almost as if we're repeating ourselves from previous messages. But what do you do when a man like John's life was taken up with the Lord Jesus? When you preach on John, you cannot but deal with John lifting up the Lord Jesus. Because that's all that he did. This we see from John's repeated words. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. Verse 15. And John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. Look at verse 27, John 1. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me. Look at verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. In other words, as far as John was concerned, he promoted Christ, he preached Christ, and in his life and in his ministry, we see the preeminence of Christ. He's preferred before me. What did Paul say? Paul said that in all things, he, that is Christ, might have the preeminence. Again, let me refer to Arthur W. Pink. Pink said, this should ever be the aim of the preacher. This should ever be the aim of the preacher, to get his hearers to look away from himself to another. He is not to testify of himself, nor about himself, but he is to preach Christ. I like the words of Pink. He's right on. This should ever be the aim of the preacher, to get his hearers to look away from himself to another. He is not to testify of himself, nor about himself, but he is to preach Christ. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul says, that's all that I am. I'm only a servant of Jesus Christ. For we preach not ourselves. Christ. John's focus was on Christ. John was fervent for Christ. That is, John did not speak about anyone else but his Savior. Christ was John's life. Christ was John's labors. Christ was in John's language. Christ was John's love. And only preached about Christ the light and Christ the Lamb. Like one of the sola scripturas of the Protestant Reformation. That is, he preached Christ alone. Christ alone. And that's all that was needed. Just as Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice, it's the gospel of Christ. The gospel that does not have Christ front, center, and last is not the gospel. The word gospel means good news, glad tidings. But there is no good news for poor lost sinners if Christ is not preached. For the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, is the good news. He is the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "The God of this world had blinded the minds of they which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." It is only the gospel of Christ that will open the blind eyes. The devil has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And only the gospel will open those eyes. We notice also, he was focused on Christ. He was fervent for Christ. And he was faithful to Christ. First of all, we are told that he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved, might believe. And how many believe through John's preaching, we are not told. After all, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But what we are told is that John faithfully delivered the message he was given to preach. He was told he was to be a witness for the Lord and be a witness of the light, and that's exactly what John was. He was faithful. And he was true. There's another likeness to the Lord. Revelation 3:14, Revelation 19:11. Christ is called the faithful and true witness. Isn't that what John was? There you have again his likeness to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that exactly whatever preacher of the gospel is to be? He's to be a faithful and true witness for the Lord. So we have considered then John's mission for the Master, John's message about the Master, and finally John magnifying of the Master. John certainly exalted the Savior. And then he went on to lift him higher. He spoke about his supreme greatness. John 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried out This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for or because he was before me. He was before me. John was lifting up the Lord Jesus and his supreme greatness. He was dealing with his deity. He comes after me, but John says he was before me. How could that be? Well, Revelation 22:16, we remember Christ was before David, for he is the root of David. He was before Abraham, because the Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. And we read tonight in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Christ is the Word. Christ was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's the Christ that John preached. He preached His deity. By how that is needed today. The Jesus Christ is God. Well, that's the message that John had. John spake of Christ as one who was full of grace. Look again at John 1, verse 16. And the law, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace. And being full of grace himself, Christ is able to give grace for grace. When grace is needed, Christ will give grace. He gives grace, and He gives more grace for the need of the hour. What did He say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. He addeth affliction. He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials, He multiplies peace. His love has no limit. His grace hath no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of the infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. What was John? He was sent to be a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Oh, may we all be one to be like John and be a witness for Christ. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O dear Lord, we thank Thee for the life and testimony of this man, John the Baptist. John, son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. John, whose life was filled with the Lord Jesus whose language was all about the Lord Jesus, whose love was all about the Lord Jesus. Lord, make us more like Him. And we'll be able to say from the heart, My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. Ever I love Thee. My Jesus, 'tis nigh. Lord, we commit ourselves to Thee tonight and for this incoming week. Keep us all safe, Lord. Hedge us all about. Keep this pandemic, Lord, from our doors. And bless and remember those, Lord, who have lost loved ones because of it. Comfort. Bring solace. And may they look to Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.